Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. Coffee and Capitalism Radio brings you exclusive interviews and distinct content from leaders who drive our economy, from CEOs to small business owners to mentors. Coffee and Capitalism is a leader in innovation, ideas, and inspiration. Coffee and Capitalism is about making money and giving back, learning the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time, learning how to be an ethical, responsible capitalist. On today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we talk with Jordan Huey of TEG Solutions during our Small Business USA segment, and during Groundbreakers, How Important is Water in the West? Greg Walcher with the Natural Resources Group tells us. And then Joe Dancy with the University of Oklahoma Energy Center gives us an update from NAEP, the largest energy conference in the United States, happened last week in Houston. And Dancy gives us an update on what the vibe of the mood is like down there with one of our kings and leaders of the economy, the energy industry. And then in our social media segment, you know, the North Dakota Public Service Commissioner, Randy Chrisman, is part of our social media network. And so we have an interview with him just a little bit later on in the program as we continue to broaden our social media network. If you want to be a part of our network, you have a chance to be interviewed on our national program, Coffee and Capitalism. Go to thecrudelife.com for more information on our social media network, thecrudelife.com. Randy Chrisman, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner, just up a little bit later on in the program, right here on Coffee and Capitalism. Okay, my name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
I saw a big fat hen out across the road, pecking gravel in the noonday sun.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Jordan Huey with TEG Solutions. TEG Solutions. Thank you for joining us today, Jordan. How are you?
You bet. I'm doing great. How are you?
Nice North Dakota accent. Where are you out of, my man?
Out of El Reno, Oklahoma.
El Reno?
Yes, sir.
El Reno, Oklahoma.
Yes, sir.
So you're coming up here to North Dakota, the Bakken. Talk about your company and what it is you guys are doing in the oil and gas world.
Sure. We are a natural gas dehydration service company, focusing on the triethylene glycol dehydration units. We service maintenance, we recycle triethylene glycol, and also teach training schools on how to operate your dehys.
So you primarily are natural gas?
Absolutely,
okay,
yes. Only natural gas.
So I'm going to ask you a question about how is business? Because the natural gas, okay, so natural gas, it's tough economically at times, but what's happening with the new innovation with companies like TEG Solution is they've created these products to help capture that natural gas and turn it into a commodity of some kind of product. A lot of companies were a little bit leery in 2012, 2010 because they had this new fracking horizontal drilling revolution happening. So the cost was a little bit uncertain. Did you find that people were a little bit like, okay, you got a science project, but now that you have the science project results, people are like, okay, let's see the results now. How much money are you saving? Did you guys have to go through that a little bit?
No, we really didn't.
Okay.
We'd been around for a while before we started TEG Solutions. We're well after the drilling. After equipment has been set and you have either a gas processing facility or sometimes you have a DHI in the field at a wellhead or something. Once that equipment is set, we come in and we do the maintenance and the service and the teaching on that specific equipment.
I see. Okay, okay. And so how many shale plays are you guys in right now?
We work all over the country.
Okay.
Up here, of course, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and then the Marcellus and Utica as well.
Are more oil companies using these natural gas capturing transmissional things?
Yes, sir. You know, the infrastructure has been set up for a lot longer in Oklahoma and Texas mm-hmm. and over in the Utica Marcellus plays. It's coming along here. We'd obviously like to see more of it, but it takes money, and they make most of their money on the oil side. So if oil prices go up, I think that we'll see that infrastructure to go in and want to capture the gas and make money on mm-hmm. the gas as well.
So who specifically would be your customer? Would it be the oil company? Would it be the midstream company?
Yeah, midstream companies, Enable Midstream.
Whoever writes us a check.
That's right. What can I get you today? Kinder Morgan up here is a good customer.
Okay.
We've done some work for Crestwood up here as well. There's Targa Resources is up here. We've taught some training and cleaned some DHIs for them.
Okay.
Don't do a whole lot of work, but those three, for the most part, are our main customers up here.
How about down in Texas? So you got some customers down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
All the big boys. Enable, again. We do a little bit for Chesapeake.
Okay.
Northern Natural Gas, Southern Star Central Gas Pipeline.
Is there any particular Texas shale play that you're in more than the other, like West Texas?
Permian Basin,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Barnett, it seems to have dried up some.
Eagleford,
we don't do much in
okay.
the Eagleford. A little bit, teaching classes and recycling glycol there.
Okay.
But most our other work is in the Permian. You can find us on the web at www.tegsol.com. And my phone number is 405-274-6275.
Thank you, Jordan.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. To listen to the full-length interview with Jordan Huey with TEG Solutions or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook. All of our social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. She was too wrapped up, strutting her stuff to see the water was getting hot. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to you. You might turn a blind eye on the world, but there's always an eye on you. Music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. So keep your head on a swivel, look both ways when you cross the street, cause this world is full of sharks and wolves, and all they ever do is eat. Oh, it's good to mind your own business, but you better pay attention to. Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com. Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Greg Walcher with the Natural Resources Group. Greg, set the table for us a little bit about when we're talking about water in the western side of the United States, it's really not as abundant as it is on the east, is it?
No, in fact, water in the west is the most valuable and the most scarce of all the natural resources. You know, the late, great Chairman Wayne Aspinall, the Westerner who chaired the House Interior Committee for 25 years during the most important development of the West, was often quoted saying, in the West, when you touch water, you touch everything. And it is literally true. And there is a difference in the West than the rest of the country, as you well know. And it makes the politics of the issue so complicated because half of the country doesn't have to deal with it. But just to sort of lay a groundwork for why this is so important in the West, people have to realize how scarce the resource is. Think about the fact that 90% of the water on the earth is too salty to be available for human use. 5% of the earth's water is locked in ice at any given moment, and another 3% in clouds. That leaves barely 2% of all of the water on earth available for use by all the plants and animals and human beings in the world. And of that teeny minuscule amount, 2% of the earth's water, 80% of it is in the major river systems, from the Mississippi to the Nile to the St. Lawrence, the Volga, the Rhine, the Amazon, and so on. That means that of the percentage of the Earth's water that is found in all the arid states west of the Mississippi is not even statistically measurable. And then when you get into the West, then you have a series of issues that even compound it further than the fact that there isn't hardly any water. In most of the Western states, in fact, 80% of all of the annual water comes in the form of snow, which means in about a 4 or 5 month period, you get all of the water that you're going to get for the rest of the year. In a lot of states, including my home state of Colorado, there are 14 other states with 100 million people who depend on water that originates in Colorado. That means 10 other states have legal claims to the water that prevents people who live in that state even from using it all. And, of course, there isn't enough combined storage capacity in any of the basins of the West to store all the water that is needed. And finally, as if all of that wasn't complicated enough for people, in almost every Western state, the vast majority of the water falls on a different part of the state than where most of the people live. In Colorado, almost 80% of the people live on the Front Range, and 80% of the water falls west of the Continental Divide. That's true also in Wyoming, in Montana, in Idaho, in New Mexico. There's all kinds of places around the West where the resource is needed by a population in a different part of the state than where the resource is. So in a state like Colorado or North Dakota or any other Western state, there just flat simply isn't enough water to go around. And so you have one choice and one choice only, and that is you have to store the water during the wet periods so that you can use it in the dry periods, or you cannot live there.
When we talk about energy development, and you've seen this time and time again, you know, the industry versus community, back and forth, that sort of thing, and without getting into the raw water versus, you know, civic water, industrial water, the different types, what have you seen? What has your experience been on the balancing act with local communities that are essentially oil and gas towns that they need that water to bathe and drink, but they also need that water to create jobs and have energy efficiency? What has your history taught you in terms of the balancing of that natural resource?
It actually has taught me over a long period of involvement in this issue that the old original constitutional system of prior appropriation is about the only way that you can resolve this issue, because there isn't enough water. I mean, at some point, the people have to decide: do we want A, use of the water, or B, use of the water? And if you leave that to the vote of the public, there just won't be any development of the kind that you're talking about. So you can't just say let's set aside 20% of the state's water for energy, because what if the state develops differently than that, and it winds up, you know, having huge population centers that need water for municipal purpose, and so suddenly there's no political support for agriculture, for example, which is the largest use of the water in the West. Well, barely 2% of the people in agriculture feed all the rest of us, but if all the rest of us have to decide, do we want water in our homes and showers, or do we want food, that would be a difficult choice. But it's never put to us that way. It's always put to us in this difficult political battleground that we find ourselves in on energy issues, where people are saying, don't produce the energy because there isn't enough water, or don't engage in logging or grazing or oil and gas or pick whatever use of the land you want. There's a group out there that's opposed to it, and they will inevitably use water as their excuse to do it. So you've got to rely on a very complex and delicate and ancient system of water law, or there won't be any water.
Oh, I was just going to ask about when you layer in the politics of the BLM, you know, you're talking about some state and some other stuff and the EPA, and I'm just thinking about some of these Western states. You know, I mean, I think we discussed before Nevada, what is that, 95-97% is owned by the federal government. Whereas, you know, North Dakota is exactly the opposite. North Dakota, like 95% of the state is private mineral rights. That's one of the big reasons why we have a Bakken boom here. Whereas Montana and some of the outlying areas don't. It's just the way that's made up. How does the BLM play into this as well? I mean, I can imagine that just probably adds a new layer of just red tape like we've never seen.
Well, federal control of water is contrary to the largest body of federal law, and it is the biggest threat that there is to water use in the West. You put your finger right on it when you talk about the difference in the ownership of mineral rights and energy. States like North Dakota and Texas, even though they are in the West, are primarily private land, and so you have access to all sorts of energy that other states are not developing. And it isn't because there isn't oil and gas under Montana and Wyoming and Colorado. It's because the federal government owns all that land. So just think about what it means if the federal government suddenly controlled all the water as well. You wouldn't be using it in North Dakota. They wouldn't be using it in Texas. So when the federal government threatened to take over control of all the waters with the Waters of the U.S. rule, it was an enormous threat to the entire country, but especially to the West.
You know, Vicki Steiner, she's from North Dakota State Legislature. She was traveling around quite a bit, doing some consulting and, you know, advising to some of these different states, being from North Dakota. She lives out in the Bakken oil field, and she described Alaska really well to me. And, you know, this is a very dumbed-down version, but she said, you know, when the state owns the mineral rights like they do in Alaska, you're only dealing with like two companies, BP and Shell. So that's because it takes forever to decide anything. Whereas versus in North Dakota, in Texas, like you mentioned, it's up to, you know, it's a 45-minute coffee and maybe some homemade biscuits and we can come up with a deal right there at the table. That opened my eyes a little bit when she talked about how the meat grinder of bureaucracy up in Alaska, to where they essentially, the government said, we only just want to deal with a couple different organizations and that's it. Do you follow my very dumbed down version at all?
Yeah, it's not dumbed down at all. It's the federal government studies everything to death before they can make a decision on anything. We call that analysis paralysis. Now, that just flat stops them from being able to make decisions on a wide range of things because of the need for environmental impact statements, environmental assessments, even a finding of no significant impact, which is supposed to be a two-page document that can be issued right away when they determine there isn't any big environmental issue. Even that takes 2 years to do and is likely to get appealed and have lawsuits filed, and the whole thing winds up in court, and the next thing you know, some judge has ordered a full environmental impact statement, and that's a 10-year process, and it's just the process goes on and on and on and on, and it's all about process, not about the substance of the issue. So, the question is about how much energy we need and how much we want to produce locally versus import from other countries. We ought to be having that argument, not arguing in court over whether or not every I was dotted correctly. I don't mean that we should ignore environmental issues. I don't mean that at all. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Anybody who thinks that private individuals who own land ignore the environment and don't care about their own backyard. That's a concept that's just plain offensive to people that own the property and live there.
To listen to the full-length interview with Greg Walcher with the Natural Resource Group or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Driving home in the corner of your home at night. Watch it shine so bright.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Watch it shine so bright in the candlelight.
It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
To see Eric Hatch grow his business and then start to share it with other people, I think is one of those great steps in life. You know, what do you do in society? You succeed at a thing, and then you teach other people how you did it. And now to see Eric duplicating his genius across the country, I'm telling you, there's a world changer down the street, and his name is Eric Hatch.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Joe Dancy with the University of Oklahoma Energy Center. All right, being joined by Joe Dancy, University of Oklahoma, part of their Oil Gas Energy Center there up in the Bakken. Of course, we've got the Energy and Environmental Research Center, the EERC. I think a lot of people might correlate it to that. That's my assumption. Joe, how you doing? And let's transition a little bit into what is the center that you're in charge of down there at the University of Oklahoma?
Well, we have a new center at the law school that deals with energy issues. And, of course, Oklahoma, just like North Dakota, is a huge energy state, energy producing state. And so with all the issues with regard to regulations, technology, oh, and geez, with all the new horizontal drilling and fracking, we address and try to just address issues that need to be decided as we go further and further along with our, you know, these days 2 and 3 mile long laterals in some cases. At least they're technologically available. So it's an exciting center. So we are a mix of law, regulation, business, technology, and I'm the director, which is it's been a lot of fun. You meet some very interesting people that have done some very interesting things.
After we talk about NAEP, I want to remind me to bring up a mineral rights case in North Dakota that I'd love to just introduce to you so you can take a look at it on your own and maybe ask if you have an opinion on it or not. I'll leave it up to you on that. But it's really interesting with flooded land and dams and mineral rights. So it's really neat. So folks, stick around. Joe Dancy, of course, he's down at NAEP. And NAEP is in, I think, its 25th year. And they're kind of having a nice little celebration down there. And we're going to have Mr. Dancy on to talk about the mood a little bit, maybe what some people are talking about, and maybe even get into a specific or two. So let's start with the 5,000-foot view, if you will. What's the general vibe and mood down at NAEP this year in Houston?
I tell you, Jay, it's much more positive than it has been last year and even the year before. And part of that is obviously oil prices are much more robust, and quite frankly, you know, at least in our opinion or my opinion, I think they're going to go higher, much higher than the $63 to $65 they've been trading at here lately. So everybody seems, and the move across the registrants and the exhibitors is very positive, and I think you can even see that. I've been told, and this is sort of unofficial numbers, they've had 13,000 people register this year. Last year they had 9,000. So it just goes to show you, number one, there's more interest, and when you walk around and talk to people, and even everything from the people, you know, running title to the geologist, they have a few people here that are, you know, selling fossilized artwork for $4,000 or $5,000, and I sort of ask them, as a, you know, as a general rule, you think people are a little more optimistic this year, you know, when you're buying a $5,000 piece of fossilized art, and they said, oh, there's no question, this year has been the best year in 2 or 3 years for them, for these interests, and as well as, again, the geologists seem to say, and the companies that are turning these deals and the financiers seem to say that, you know, things are looking up, and I agree 100%. This is going to be 2018 is going to be a very, very good year for the oil industry and also for the Bakken.
What are you hearing in terms of cost savings? I'll give you a couple examples. Frac sand, of course, that's probably the most nationwide known example of how oil and gas companies were saving some money. I just interviewed a guy earlier today on the environmental side of things, Tidwell Industries. He was talking about how they're saving a lot of man hours because of their innovative proprietary product, that sort of thing. What are you hearing in terms of the efficiency side of things, how people are saving money? Is it through innovation, wireless for things? Is it less man hours, I guess? Are people saving money?
Well, actually, you talk to these people that are, you know, actually involved with some of the technology, and, you know, we continue to make technological improvements, but I did ask around this morning about service costs, because as you know, as industry recovers, we have more rigs being put back in the service, and to get people and to get equipment, you know, has been stacked, you got to refurbish it to make it available. And they said things are being more efficient, but that's being offset by the fact that you got to pay more money for services. And especially frac crews, they were telling me, at least a couple people, and these were in the Permian Basin, they said, you know, it's tough to get frac crews in the Permian Basin that you feel comfortable with, and when you do, you generally, you know, you try to get them tied up so they'll frac a number of your wells and, you know, are not, you're not waiting unduly long for that. But past that, the service cost, though, I said, was it, you know, are the jumps shocking as far as the, and they said, no, it's just a gradual inflation of cost, which is actually, Jason, it's very good, because service companies, as you probably know, you know, they took a brunt when people stopped drilling. You know, a lot of service companies are just hanging on, and it's nice to see, you know, hopefully now they're making a little better margin, and we're attracting, or at least can attract some people back into the business as far as just employees.
Well, that's good news. Yeah, this contraction period was getting a little long in the tooth. It's about time for us to expand our portfolios a little bit, and it'd be nice to, for the service companies to make a little money, because it is. It's a give and take. It's a sacrifice and a give back type thing, and the oil and gas industry is usually pretty good about that, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't be going forward. What are you hearing when it comes to water? Another conversation I had last week was with a gentleman, and he brought up a good point. You know, really, at the end of the day, especially on the western side of things, you can't have a conversation and not boil it down to water. And so are people having sourcing issues, disposing issues? Talk to me a little bit about the world of water in the oil and gas world right now down at NAEP.
Actually, that's a very hot topic that you just hit on. And of course, every area is a little bit different. Of course, North Dakota, the Permian Basin, even in Oklahoma, I mean, we're not water rich as far as having a bunch of resources that are readily available in many cases. And I know at least the Permian Basin, some of the people I talked to this morning, they said that the amount of water being used, especially on the Permian Basin and in the Eagleford, has increased substantially in the last 3 years. Part of it's because the well bores are longer, but part of it is they're sticking in much more frac sand, and they need much more fluid to jam that stuff in there. And so water is a concern. And going forward, I mean, apparently, we haven't had people not being able to complete a frac or frac their wells yet, but they say going forward, as the rig count continues to increase and as we use more and more water, it's a concern. And it's a, it's a concern for, both the companies as well as obviously, depending on where it's being sourced from, it's a concern of, your surface owner and your agricultural sector.
To listen to the full-length interview with Joe Dansey with the University of Oklahoma Energy Center, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com.
A wide open prairie out by my grandma's house. And some days I can almost feel the wind blow and taste that cool, dry, dusty autumn air in my mouth. Where the nighttime lights earth and light on the horizon.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Every time I roll back around.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
When I feel lost and separated, and every step I take falls on foreign ground, and I feel like going back to North Dakota. I'll take a job, find a wife, and finally settle down. But right now I'm addicted to emotion.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.
Oh, darling, I'm getting a new tattoo.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next is our social media segment. Today's guest is Randy Crispin, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner. He is part of our social media network. And if you'd like to be a part of our network or Randy's, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. We have all of the links right there. This is our social media segment where our guests are part of our social media network. And this is North Dakota Public Service Commissioner Randy Crispin.
I'm doing just fine. We're having a lot of good things happen at the PSC. The political campaign is off to a good start, and you bring up some interesting topics on technology, and you talked about oil and gas or energy, media. You know, my former life, which I still like to dabble in a little bit on the weekends, was ranching, and, you know, the agriculture industry is also changing mm-hmm. just as fast, whether it's, you know, different equipment, different grazing techniques, different marketing techniques, better use of genetics. So I don't think there's anything in the world that isn't changing quickly in this age that we live in.
Are you seeing a blend in that? I mean, you know, in energy, we're talking ag and energy had to go hand in hand through the land, through land. Okay. Now, with some of the drones and the UAS technology, I do see another relationship forging. For example, precision agriculture. Well, so much of the energy and ag went hand in hand, whether it's counting cattle or whether it's checking to see if the potato has blight on it, for example. I was talking with Kevin Lear with the North Dakota Buffalo Association, the Bison Group, and they're using drones to count buffalo now. I can see a day where the energy and ag will use each other's aerial view to check pipeline monitoring. You know what I mean? So are you seeing any emergence coming on your end from the PSC or even from a ranching side? Or
Not a lot in the parts of the energy industry that we're working on, but you sure can see that it's on the way mm-hmm. because you're correct. Drones are starting to play a bigger and bigger role in agriculture, and they certainly are in the energy industry. One example is a lot of the pipelines that are jurisdictional to us, they have to be checked 26 times a year, so the assumption is it's every other week. Of course, there's going to be a weather delay or something like that occasionally. So in many cases, it's a requirement of 26 times a year, no more than 3 weeks apart.
Okay.
And you know that they are moving already toward doing that with drones as opposed to having a pilot and a photographer or an observer flying all those miles of pipelines every time at fairly low levels. It's not exactly even the safest type of flight. It's a flight that requires a lot of training and focus, because you need to fly low to be keeping an eye on it. Mm-hmm. Well, when you can do that without people up there and just send the drone over, so they're using it, it's going to continue on. And yes, certainly the same aerial views that check to see whether there was any evidence of a underground pipeline leak could also be used to be checking the farmers' crops too. And so I'm certain that as we go, you're going to see more and more of a merger there. And, you know, one of the ways that we're using it right now at the PSC and the legislative session last year in 2017 did allow us, we were able to buy a drone for our coal mine reclamation team.
Oh.
And, you know, it is a huge time saver for us and also a safety feature, because a lot of people don't realize anymore, but a big part of our agency is the coal mine reclamation. We go out and do hands-on inspections, you know, look at how they're handling topsoil, for instance, and make sure it's not eroding. Look at how reseeded land is taking off. Look at their sediment ponds, making sure there's not erosion. Well, if the feature that the inspector wants to check is 3/4 of a mile away and over the top of a big hill, and there's some rough terrain in there, we used to send them out on ATVs or sometimes with pickup trucks or something.
To listen to the full-length interview with Randy Crispin, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner, or to listen to other social media segments, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Or go ahead and join our social media network, and you can find interviews like this and also possibly be a guest on this segment, because all of our guests are part of our social media network here during this social media segment. All of that information is available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Every drop of water in the world is ice, sharpened in a sickle like silver knives. The lines keep coming where the lanes divide it. You and the road in the middle of the night. It's you and the road in the middle of the night.
music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Brooks West. To find out more about Brooks West and his music, visit thecrudelife.com, click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
When you get to me, I'm gonna unfold my arms. So you got a place to land that's soft and warm, yeah.
Hey, yeah. If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Fingers, no other choice. You are the queen of the midnight run. 11 years dark to test the sun. The AM radio and the dashboard lights. You ran the road in the middle of the night. It's you ran the road in the middle of the night.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, gonna jump over candlestick, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market, that you can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of the best things I can share is I've had an opportunity to sit down with a community leader and Eric, and we were talking, and this community leader said, United Way, what's your connection there? Eric said, as a child, my family would have been a family that would have benefited from United Way programming. And you don't necessarily get to see that down the road because you see someone who's been very successful in business and you see somebody who has helped a lot of other people along the way. But sometimes we don't stop to ask, what's the why? What's your why behind that?
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.